briefly yesterday about a halacha that emerges from our parsha, and that is the importance of being koveya makom letvilaso, of a person setting a place to daven and not just haphazardly deciding where to daven each and every tefillah. The basic underlying understanding of that, obviously we spoke about more yesterday, but the underlying understanding of the Gemara is that tefillah is not a haphazard part of our lives. Tefillah is something that we need to prepare for. Tefillah is something we need to think about. And it's something that we need to take very seriously. If a person doesn't understand the value of preparing properly and davening in the same place and understanding that tefillah is something that is a very important and critical part of our day, so that tefillah does not have as much of a chance of being answered as many of the other tefillahs that we offered. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that tefillah is something which is otherworldly. Tefillah is something which is in some way transcendental. The Gemara calls it min hadvarim ha'omdim beruma shel olam. It is something that stands up in the heavens. However, regrettably, the Gemara says, "Ne adam mizalzalim bo." We are not really so careful to take it as seriously as we should. We consider it like a mundane, like a casual part of our lives. And that's something the Gemara bemoans, the fact that we don't really appreciate what the incredible power of tefillah really is. There's an amazing passage in the Tana Deve Elio. Tana Deve Elio was written by Elio Hanavi, and he writes about Kishaba Sancheirav Vihikif Es Yerushalayim. When Sancheirav came and he laid a siege around Yerushalayim, Amad Chizkiya B'Tfila Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does a Jewish person do when they're in siege? What do they realize they're supposed to do when there is a lot at stake? So Chizkiya HaMelech gets up and he begins to daven. What else is he supposed to do? V'nira Ka'adam HaMedaber Im Chaveiro. And Eliyahu HaNavi records that in this time that he supplicated himself before God, and he asked that God should have Rachmanis on the siege that was taking place, he seemed to be having like a casual conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nira Ka'adam HaMedaber Im Chaveiro. Nacha Ruach Elokim Al Yishayahu HaNavi Va'amar Lo. A heavenly spirit came down to Yishayahu HaNavi and had a discussion with him. Adam Shemedaber V'lifnei Misha Gadol Mimenu Basar V'dam. If you know that you have a court date, if you know you have to stand in front of a judge, we're nervous, even though it's only a traffic ticket, even though it's nothing to be nervous about, but we still are because we're standing in front of an authority. Martia kol gufo umizdaza nevar. We're trembling, we're quivering, we're palpitating, we're nervous about that experience that we're going to have to go through. Hamadabr lefnelech malchei amlachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu alachas kama v'kama. A person who has the opportunity to speak with God, who rules over the heavens and the earth, who makes all decisions in our lives, alachas kama v'kama, certainly sheyedaber be'ema be'yira be'resus v'ziyah, that we have to have a sense of reverence, a sense of apprehension, a certain sense of fear of Yira Shamayim at the time that we do that. If we would certainly have those nervous feelings when we have the encounter with a human being who is more powerful than us, certainly what we're supposed to feel with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And because of that, Eliyahu HaNavi says, lefikach chala chizkiyo choli gadol. Because he had this casual attitude in the way he presented himself in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam at a time of sorrow, at a time of trouble, so it says that Chizkiyo got very sick. Shenemar b'yamim mahem chala chizkiyohu lamus. So that's a frame, a way of thinking about what exactly our perspective, our approach is supposed to be toward tefillah every time that we daven. Not only to have the tefillah being offered in a makom kavua, which shows a seriousness, but also to have a certain frame of mind. It is told about the first Sanza Rebbe. The Divrei Chaim was the Sanza Rebbe who lived at the end of the 1700s till the mid-1800s. So it is told that every time before he would daven, he would go and spend some private time in his own office before coming out to the shul. So the Hasidim were curious, and they finally asked him, "What exactly are you doing in there before you daven? You're not putting your tefillin on. What are you busy with?" So he said to them that every time before I get up to daven, every time before I get up to daven and say Shemona Esrei, I say a precursory tefillah in my office. What is that tefillah that I offer? Yihi ratzon she'ezke lechaven b'tefilasi. May it be your will that I truly value and appreciate the tefillah that I am about to say. Ulaharich es kolcho hagadol. And may it be your will that I come to absorb its indescribable, its extraordinary power, because so often we don't allow ourselves to understand the power of tefillah, the potency, the effectiveness of what tefillah really does. And that's why the Divrei Chaim used to spend time every day before the davening to remind himself that there's so much power in the tefillah, we just don't often pay enough attention to it. Moshe Rabbeinu in his lifetime wants nothing more than to enter into the land of Eretz Yisrael. As we're told in Parshas Va'eschanan, the Gemara says Va'eschanan is Begematria 515, that Moshe Rabbeinu offers 515 different tefillos in order to allow himself access and entry into Eretz Yisrael, until God says, you can't daven anymore. 515, that's a limit. I'm not going to allow you to daven any more tefillos. Why? Because had he davened one more tefillah, it would have worked. He would have gotten in, and God didn't want him to get in. And you see the power of tefillah. He could have reversed the actual plan of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of God himself, had he only davened one more tefillah. So he listened. God said, that's it, so that's it. But you see what tefillah really could have accomplished. And Chazal say a very fascinating comment. Rashi quotes the Medrash in the beginning of the parsha, not this week's parsha, but in a few parshiyot, Rashi has the same comment, that there are a number of places throughout Chumash where we find the same phrase, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh is mentioned in a number of places, and in each place it means the exact same thing. That's what Rashi writes in the name of the Medrash. The first one is on the occasion of Noach, when Noach was ready to go into the Teva. On the day of the Mabul, it says that that was a day when all the critics and all the adversaries of Noach decided that they were going to make a human blockade. We are not going to allow Noach to go into the Teva. We're not going to let this happen, because if Noach doesn't get into the Teva, we're not going to be destroyed. God is not going to destroy him together with us. So they decided they are going to constrain, they're going to hold him back from entering into the Teva. And God responds to them and he says, Noach's going to walk into the Teva, be'etzem hayom hazeh. Whether you like it or not, you can make all the blockades that you want. It's going to happen in broad daylight while everybody's watching. You're not going to be able to stop him. I'm going to suspend the human ability to get in the way of Noach. That's what Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh means in the first time it's mentioned in the Torah. Against all natural odds, against all the norms, and against all expectations, Noach and his family will get into the Teva regardless. The second place where the Torah has it is by Yetzias Mitzrayim, where the Torah says that Mitzrayim were galvanizing an army. The Mitzrayim had all their soldiers laden with heavy artillery, and they're trying to decide that the Jewish people are not going to be able to leave. We're going to have the most elite infantry squad. We're going to get in the way. We're going to set up a blockade. You are not leaving the country. It doesn't matter how much you want to leave. And God says, no, no, no. This is going to happen. Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. The exodus of the Jewish people has come time. I decided it's going to happen, and it doesn't matter what human being decides they want to get in the way. It doesn't matter how many armies you get together. The Jewish people are going to leave Mitzrayim, whether you like it or not, against all natural odds. Nothing will allow you to prevent or to impede this plan from happening. And the third that the Medrash says is on the occasion of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. On the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, God says, I will take the life of Moshe Rabbeinu be'etzem hayom hazeh, in broad daylight, and no human effort will be able to stop the death of Moshe Rabbeinu from happening. So it certainly sounds very interesting, but when you think a little bit more critically about it, there's something that's very troubling. You see, in the first two experiences that the Torah says be'etzem hayom hazeh, you have the story of Noach and the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Over there, there was the possibility for a human being to interfere. By the story of Noach, they could stand in the way of the Teva. By the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we can have our army lined up in front of them. But by the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you mean? God suspended nature. He suspended the human ability to stop them from impeding in the way of him taking the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, if God decides it's time for you to die, you're going to die anyway. We can have all the doctors, all the nurses, all the friends, everything. There's nothing we can do to stop a person from losing their life. If God decided it's time, it's time. So what does it mean? God says, I'm going to take the life of Moshe Rabbeinu be'etzem hayom hazeh, in broad daylight, while all of you are watching, you're going to have no way of stopping it. What does that mean? How do you translate that into the story of Misas Moshe Rabbeinu? And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz points out in the Sichas Musar such an important and powerful comment. He says, you know what? The one and only thing that we could have done to get in the way of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu was tefillah. Had the Jewish people only stood up and galvanized themselves to daven properly before Moshe Rabbeinu died, they would have been able to stop the will of God. They would have been able to keep him alive. He never would have died. And God says, I'm going to take the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu be'etzem hayom hazeh. I'm going to suspend your ability to daven for him. Because had you davened, had the Jewish people gotten together and pleaded on behalf of Moshe Rabbeinu, he never would have lost his life. That's an incredible comment, and that shows you the same way it's natural for a person to make a human blockade in front of a teva and stop someone from going in, the same way it's natural for an army to stop a nation from leaving its land by Mitzrayim, is the same way that a human being is able to stop the plan of God from being played out, if only they would daven with a certain requisite seriousness that we're supposed to have. If only we had the understanding of how powerful and how potent tefillah really could be, we could have actually stopped this death of Moshe Rabbeinu from happening. And this is what the Medrash says in Devarim, that Moshe Rabbeinu in some way blames his death on the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I was able to uphold God, I was able to stand up against him, so to speak. So many times I came up in your defense, and yet here you have the chance to stand up for me. 600,000 people, you can't figure out how to help me, you couldn't figure out how to stop this from happening. And he in some way holds the Jewish people accountable, he holds them responsible for his own death, which is a striking comment. But you see, that there is a natural way that human beings are able to get in the way, and that is if only we take tefillah with a great degree of seriousness, with sincerity. If we would understand how powerful tefillah could be, and we would actually implement that into our tefillahs every time we daven, we would be able to even suspend that which God has decreed upon someone, which might not be powerful, which might not be positive. The Gemara says, "Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moes b'tfilasam shel rabim." God never is turned away. God never turns a blind eye. He never rejects and he never dismisses the appeal and the tefillah, the meaningful prayer of an entire community, of a tzibur. Rabbi means a minion. When you have a tzibur davening together, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moes, he never turns away. Now again, doesn't mean that tefillah is always answered exactly the way we want it. Sometimes the tefillah can be saved for something else. But this is something to keep in mind, that whenever we have the opportunity to daven together as a community, that's something that the Gemara assures us is Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moes. God never will turn a blind eye away from a tefillah like that. The Zohar HaKadosh very famously comments that the Mabul goes down in history as the Mei Noach, as the waters of Noach. And the Zohar seems to make a comment that in some way it was Noach's fault, a very famous comment. How could it be Noach's fault? Noach was the Ish Tzadik, he was the Tamim, he was the one who was doing the right thing. How could it be that the whole destruction of the world was his fault? What did he do wrong? And the Zohar HaKadosh puts out so poignantly that basically, Noach decided that it wasn't worth davening for his generation. He decided, God assured me I was going to be saved. God assured me I was going to have my family saved. We're all going to live in the Teva. Everybody else is decadent. Everybody else is immoral. Everybody else can be destroyed. Noach didn't bother to daven for his generation. Why he decided to do so is another question. Maybe he didn't have faith in the generation. Maybe he didn't have faith in himself, some say. Maybe he didn't realize how powerful he was in the eyes of God, and that had he only davened with sincerity, he could have saved them. A whole bunch of interpretations, but either way, the assumption is, had Noah only went out of his way to daven for his generation, he would have been able to save them. And that's what's clear, that the power of tefillah is something that really can change even something that has already been decreed by the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. We'll just close with a medrash that contrasts the experience of Moshe Rabbeinu with the experience of Noach. And here the Medrash says a very surprising statement. The Medrash tells us that Noach and Moshe Rabbeinu had some sort of interchange, and they were having a discussion about who's greater. We would never have this conversation on our own, but the Medrash records the conversation that Noach and Moshe Rabbeinu meet up, and they start to talk. Noach amar leMoshe, Noach turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, Ani gadol mimcha. With all due respect to Moshe Rabbeinu, I understand you're the one that gave the Luchos, I understand you're the one that took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, but I'm greater than you. Why am I greater than you? Shenitzalti midor ha-mabul. I was living in a generation of absolutely wicked people, of the worst of the worst, the most decadent society, and I survived, which means I'm a really great man. You never had that problem. You never lived in a society like I did, and therefore I am greater than you are, even though the world thinks you're greater, but I was the one who survived in a horrible, awful society that I was born into. Amar lo Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I understand your position, however, ani nisalesi yoser mimcha. I'm even greater than you are. Why? I would have thought Moshe Rabbeinu would say, I'm greater than you are, you know why? Because I'm the one who had the greatest nevuah ever in history. I'm the one that had conversations with God, pel, pe. I'm the one who gave the Jewish people the Torah. I'm the one who took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Look what I accomplished. I have quite a good CV to say about myself. And Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't present all of that. Moshe Rabbeinu says the reason why he feels he's more worthy, he's greater, is because ata hitzalta esatzmecha. You decided to save yourself. And yes, you were able to withstand the generation that was wicked, that was evil, that was doing the worst of the worst. But you only save yourself. You weren't able to look out for the rest of your generation. They were all destroyed under your watch. I not only saved myself from being destroyed, but I saved the entire Jewish people. When the Jewish people made a mistake and the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to destroy them, Moshe Rabbeinu not only saves Elf, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'll make you into a great nation. I don't need the rest of these people. I'll start over with you. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, I don't just want to be saved on my own. I don't want the Jewish people to come just from me. I want that we should have a Jewish people that's going to survive and that's going to continue. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be mispalel on the entire generation. And you see, the Medrash ends off that that's why we say, Ve'ata lisal kulana, is in some way a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, that he's the greatest of all generations, not because he gave the Torah, not because Moshe Rabbeinu had the greatest nevuah, but rather because Moshe Rabbeinu knew what it meant to take tefillah seriously. Moshe Rabbeinu knew what it meant to have responsibility for a generation when there are needs that we have, and we all have needs. When there's a generation that is so much in desperate need of our tefillahs, the mark of a great person is somebody who understands how to step up and show the Ribbono Shel Olam with sincerity that we're willing to daven on behalf of our generation, not just to save ourselves, but to save everyone, to make sure that we're all going to be successful, to make sure we will all prosper, and to make sure that the entire world won't be destroyed, not just ourselves, but the entire world as we know it will continue to have an existence.